Good health is a crown worn by the healthy that only the ill can see. Your health really is your wealth. Join us for the next hour as we explore disease and attaining and maintaining good health. This is Dis-Chem Medical Monday, brought to you by Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
All right, and we are live. Thank you for joining us here on the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show. My name is Nicholas Ingle, and this week is the safety or safe listening week. That's from the 26th to the 1st of September. I'm joined by Charlene Brett, speech therapist and audiologist. We're going to be chatting safe hearing. So let us have your questions for Charlene on 061-895-1019. And we will get back to you after these ads.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
Thank you so much for joining us. We're joined today by Charlene Brett, speech therapist and audiologist, chatting safe hearing, something that I've become a lot more aware of since I got my Apple Watch and now get loud environment warnings. Charlene, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Nicholas. Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to share some very important information.
And it's absolutely vital information, because I think, unlike our eyesight, we perhaps tend not to notice hearing loss as we go through life.
So you're quite right. Hearing is like the stepchild. We go for blood tests, we go for check our ears, we check our eyes, and we are pushed to go and check our hearing, which is absolutely fundamental to a healthy life.
I think absolutely. And I think just in terms of really good quality relationships and connection, hearing is absolutely vital. So let's touch on first, how does hearing actually work?
Well, how does hearing work? Our ears are divided into three parts, actually. The external ear, which is the ear that you see, the part in which you hang earrings, and then there's a little hole called, which leads into the ear canal. The ear canal ends in, the external ear canal ends in the eardrum. Then there's three little bones in the middle ear, which lead, the middle ear leads into the inner ear, which where the organ of hearing is situated. So right. As the ear, it goes through the external ear canal. It's transmitted mechanically by these three little bones, the incus, the malleus, and the stapes, and then is sent to the inner ear. And the nerve impulses from the inner ear are sent to the brain. The brain interprets the sound, and that's how we really hear. So how does loud noise impact on the inner ear? There are little hairs in the inner ear. They're called hair cells, but they're actually nerves, and too much noise damages hearing. As simple as that. It's a very simple explanation for a very complex procedure.
Right. No, simple is good.
Okay. So there is an amount, a safe exposure recommended levels for hearing. And right. There's a slight difference between two different ways of measuring hearing or recommending hearing. But when hearing is very loud, even a few minutes can cause permanent deafness.
Sure. That permanent and irreversible.
Permanent and irreversible, yes. It's
absolutely crazy, because, you know, if I think about it, we were speaking about, you know, hearing being the stepchild. If you get something into your eye and it feels uncomfortable, you are so careful and so cautious to get it out. You'll go to the doctor immediately. Yet we put ourselves into environments with voluntarily or involuntarily with loud noise. And I know, you know, with the younger generation, or even now, we're called the headphone generation. We saw that with some of the smartphone products from decades ago with headphones. music, podcast, gaming. It's always in our ears and trapped in headphones. I mean, even running a podcast or being on the radio, we're always wearing headphones. How safe is this, and how can we tell if we're overdoing it?
Well, we can tell by overdoing it if you've got your AirPods in and you cannot hear somebody speaking to you from a meter away. If somebody else can hear the noise that you're hearing, that's another way of determining it. I've just gone a bit blank.
No problem. Just while there, I also wanted to welcome Nadine Katz to the show. Nadine is a patient who recently had an operation to correct deafness in one ear. Nadine, welcome, and thank you for joining us. We've got you on mute. You are still there on mute, Nadine. So waiting for you to come off mute. Charlene, let's go back to you very, very quickly.
Okay, whilst unmuting herself, we must make sure that there is a good fit. If the earbuds don't fit correctly, then a lot of external noise will enter the ear, and then one would tend to crank up the noise. So one must make sure that one has a good quality earbud, one in which you can control the noise. You can set the maximum volume to 75 decibels, which will be safe listening up to 8 hours a day. However, that comes with a caveat. There are recommendations that one shouldn't use earbuds for more than 1 hour a day from World Health Organization. So we need to be very aware of what we are hearing and if it is too loud.
So I think one of the challenges that we face, and I know I do it myself, and Nadine, we'll come to you just after this. I know that if I'm focusing on something, I tend to tune music out or the sound out. So if I'm listening to music on headphones, but I'm focusing on working, I actually disconnect from how loud that sound is rather than listening to it. Is that something that happens with humans where we can tune sound out and then we don't realize how loud it is?
It's a function called figure ground separation. And I think you're very lucky that you're able to do that. However, even if you think you are tuning out, that sound is still reaching your ears and potentially be dangerous.
Right. Yeah, you're not blocking out the sound. You're just ignoring it, basically. It's still having that effect on your body.
Yes, exactly.
Nadine, thank you for joining us. We appreciate you coming on the show today.
Thank you.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you perfectly. Thank you so much. How was your operation, and was it a success?
Absolutely. It's fantastic. I can hear again. I couldn't hear a thing in my left ear, and now I hear normally. It's wonderful.
Absolutely phenomenal. Can you tell us a little bit about what happened? And then, Charlene, maybe you can give us some of the mechanics around that as well. Was it hearing loss, or was it something that you were born with?
No, it wasn't something I was born with. I'm not sure why, but it was for a couple of years that I couldn't hear. And eventually I thought I better go and have it checked. So I went to Charlene and she sent me to an ENT, but it was just before COVID and the ENT said maybe I should have an op. And I thought there's no chance I'm going into hospital with COVID. So I left it for another couple of years and I went back to Charlene and she said that my hearing was even worse in both ears this time. And she sent me to another ENT and he said I should go to Dr. Moll, the specialist. And I went to him and he did the op. It was a week and I was back to normal because I could hear perfectly.
Sure. How was that for you? Just being able to hear again more sounds. What was that experience like?
Amazing. I couldn't believe I left it so long. I was stupid. But sometimes you don't think what you should be doing.
You know, it's usually it's the men who have to leave medical stuff. Ladies are very responsible. You take care of stuff immediately, get it done. It's our job to leave it until we get nagged to go. You know, so we're very, very happy to hear that your hearing is back and that it's fantastic. Charlene, can you walk us through, just before we go to ad break, a little bit of what happened and what the diagnosis was and the treatment?
So generally, there are different kinds of hearing loss. There's a nerve deafness called sensory neural hearing loss. Then there is conductive hearing loss, which is generally a middle ear problem. And then there is mixed loss. You can have a conductive and a sensory neural component. So sensory neural loss is not preventable. It is treatable with certain things like hearing aids, auditory processing training, awareness training. But Nadine had a conductive, she had a conductive loss and she had a mixed loss. Conductive in that there was an aspect of her ear which was blocking the sound from the external ear into the internal ear. And when that was corrected, her hearing was returned. She had a condition called otosclerosis, which is treatable with surgery by a very, very talented, brilliant surgeon.
Fantastic. I want to go a little bit more into that as soon as we are back from our ad breaks.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
Thank you so much for joining us on this Monday morning for the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show. I'm chatting with speech therapist and audiologist Charlene Bond and Nadine Katz, a patient that recently had an operation to correct her one deaf ear. And Nadine, you also mentioned that you started to lose hearing in the other ear as well. How was the... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I forgot to tell you, sorry, after not going for the op the first time, I did get a hearing aid, which did help. But I do wear glasses, and for working, I kept taking them on and off. And I thought, well, I'm going to, with taking it off, the hearing aid would fall out and I'd lose it. So that was why I went again and had the op.
Had the operation. How was the social interactions? What was that like, having sort of the gradual deafness setting in? Did it affect your social life and your interaction with people?
Not in the beginning, but towards the end, I definitely battled. If someone spoke to me in my left ear, I couldn't hear a word.
All right. Okay. Fair enough. Just on a lighter note, do you still use that as an excuse when you chat to people you don't necessarily want to talk to?
No.
Charlene, we're making light of it, but it is quite a serious thing. The loss of hearing, the loss of connection to our surroundings and our community. Can you tell us a little bit about what you've experienced with some patients coming in and how the hearing loss has affected their lives?
Well, first of all, it takes the average person about 7 years to actually admit that they have a hearing loss. And then within the next half an hour, they want to be seen, treated, diagnosed, and off.
And cured.
So people come, they very often come because of the family. The family says they can't hear, they're in denial, they think everybody's mumbling around them and it's their fault. But until they do recognize it, those are very common symptoms. Once they come, you know that once they come, generally speaking, they are ready to hear that they do have a hearing loss if they, after being tested, and they are open to options. Until that time, there's lots of problems with social isolation, depression, being fears of being left out, making blunders, getting on irritating those around and being irritated by others because they're not hearing them. And the biggest problem is the association of cognitive decline with untreated hearing loss. Now, this has been going on since 2009, when it was originally brought to the world's attention by Professor Frank Lins of Oxford, of Johns Hopkins University. And in the beginning, the audiology community did not accept it until the research was repeated all around the world. And it was found that treating hearing loss, so I'm talking about when you say treating hearing loss, that's not treatable medically. Mm-hmm. Nerve damage is not treated, able to be treated with medication or operations. So nerve deafness, the best way of treatment is generally speaking hearing loss, but if it's accompanied by auditory training and auditory processing training, the results are much better.
Can we tell us a little bit more about the training and effectively, I suppose it would be skills development, learning how to hear, because I think that's absolutely fascinating.
Yes, it's exactly that. But it's exactly that, but in much, much deeper, in a much deeper way. One has to diagnose what the problems are, which sounds can't be heard, why they aren't hearing them, which parts of the brain are associated, and make a dovetailed program specific to the person and their problems.
But this is something that can be improved by working on the skills and learning how to hear, perhaps learning a different way how to hear.
Yes, and we need to encourage medical aid to cover this sort of treatment. One can get medical aid cover for permanent problems, but I'm not sure that it's actually been recognized. Because once one's used the hearing aid, generally speaking, medical aid cover is used up. So it's work that we audiologists need to do, is to promote it as a PMB.
Sure. Sorry, go ahead.
We need everybody's support to that. I just want to briefly mention, we mentioned which kind of hearing loss can be treated. So generally speaking, there are three kinds of hearing loss: external, caused by external ear problems, middle ear, and inner ear problems. So with children, otitis media, which is a middle ear infection, and the key symptoms are ear pain, fever, irritability, generally caused by shorter eustachian tubes, or as a child develops, from the orientation of the eustachian tube goes from more horizontal to a more diametrical position. So one treats that generally with antibiotics, pain relief, sometimes grommets. External problems of the external ear, like swimmer's ear, which causes ear pain, itching, discharge, and swelling. And if it's not treated, could lead to middle ear problems. Children can be born with hearing loss, with congenital hearing loss, which is a genetic complication. And for those kind of problems, hearing aids, cochlear implants, and speech and auditory therapy are indicated.
Right.
Teenagers are our target market for hearing loss because of the ear pods and the continual use of unrestricted volume exposure causing inner ear nerve deafness. That's a brief summary of a very few. I looked up on the DSM qualifications for hearing loss. They listed up to 150 causes of hearing loss. So it's a bit to mention on this short program.
Yes, absolutely. I think it's so fascinating that we go for speech training. You know, if one has to speak in one's career, you go for how to talk publicly, public address courses, but we're not going for listening and how to improve our hearing. I think there might be quite a few spouses listening to the show that think it would be quite a good idea, but I think it's a wonderful skill set to actually develop. And I think, is, for example, with headphones, I know it's such a challenge for the youth, because when we're young, we think we're bulletproof. We love our music. We love the energy. You know, I grew up going to clubs in the 80s and 90s and bars, loud music and a very loud environment and concerts, not giving any real concern to hearing. But is something, you know, like turning down your volume, learning to listen to the music at a lower level, is this something that people should be practicing? You know, like maybe once a month you turn your volume down a little bit to make it get to a point where you can hear, but it's still safe.
Not once a month, once an okay. hour minimum.
Once an hour, got it, okay. Absolutely.
Our kids are addicted to screens and phones, but they are actually in a very privileged generation that they are privy to this information. Our generation was not privy to this information, so these kids can prevent hearing loss because there's one undisputed effect of too loud noise, and that's hearing loss. There are lots of things that can be disputed, and some things have different effects on different people. But with hearing and noise, there's just no dispute. It's everybody accepts that noise affects hearing. So there are things that they can do, like they can have maximum volume sets, limit listening time, as I said earlier, to an hour a day. They can take breaks. Must make sure that they have a good fit. And there must be conversation awareness. And they can set the audio on iPhones to noise cancellation, which really makes a big difference. And under 2-year-olds should not be, if their hearing is normal, they should not be exposed to earbuds. It causes too much damage too quickly.
Too much damage. Okay. I want to chat about environment, and then also what are some of the other risks to hearing, such as infections and so on. But before we do, I just wanted to go to Nadine again. Nadine, what was that like for you with the gradual hearing loss? When did you start to realize, hey, there may be a problem here? And when did you sort of get to that point of, okay, I need to do something about this?
Well, I could never hear when I spoke on the phone. I always used to use my right ear because I couldn't hear with the left. And eventually, I mean, as I got older, I thought it's about time I should actually go and check it. So I did go. And then, as I say, I used the hearing aid for a while. But then it became a problem with my glasses on and off and the hearing aid falling out. And that's when I decided if there's an opt to fix it, I'm happy to do that.
Okay. Sort of, when do you think the hearing loss first started? Was it always like that with the telephone in your left ear, or was it something that just started to gradually get worse?
No, I think it was just gradually getting worse, and I just left it because I thought, I mean, if it's getting worse slowly, there's not much we can do. But when I quit at all, I thought I had to do something.
Something about it. Okay. You know, it's such an important point that you make, where we think, oh, well, I'm just getting older maybe, and it's part of life, because it's not something we've ever experienced before. So we'd say, okay, well, listen, I've seen it with other people, with older people perhaps. And if it's gradual and slow enough, then it's something that I'll just learn to live with. But I love what Professor Lucille Bloomberg always says about patient empowerment. And I think it's a great segue back to Charlene. How often should we have our hearing checked? Should we maybe be handing over responsibility for the levels of our hearing ability to medical professionals, going once a year, once every two years?
We should definitely have our hearing tested every year. Mm-hmm. From babies should be tested as newborns. School children need to be tested so that they can hear what's going on in class. Nursery school children are exposed to an enormous amount of noise in their classrooms. They should be tested so that their speech and language will develop normally. And the speech and language development at school entry age is a good prognostic indicator of their academic success in matric. And the working population obviously needs to. And as we age, hearing loss becomes, sensory neural hearing loss is one of the third biggest chronic conditions. And if it is, because it is associated with cognitive decline, and it is preventable, it will slow down cognitive decline. Won't completely eradicate it, but if it can slow it down, It's just such a win. But I don't think we must hand over to the medical professionals. We need to be the ones to prevent and prepare.
Absolutely. I think in terms of the reduction of cognitive decline, that is absolutely incredible and something that we should all be looking at in terms of getting our hearing tested. So what I meant by handing over to a medical professional is committing to getting your hearing checked once a year and then acting on what the audiologist, the speech therapist tells you that you may need to be doing rather than just leaving it because I have a chuckle because Nadine, my ear canals are quite narrow. They block. I get blocked with wax, and I always leave it too long to go and get them sorted. So it's something really that we need to be looking at definitely getting on to regular checkups. Just before we go to our ad break, I just wanted to say we have a question or a comment from Carol. Prevention is the way to go, like our teeth. Absolutely fantastic comment. And we'll be back with you now straight after this ad break.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
You've been listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show. We are joined by Charlene Brett, speech therapist and audiologist, and very kindly, Nadine Katz, patient that recently had an operation to correct one of her deaf ears, sharing her experience and journey from hearing loss to very fortunately getting her hearing back. Just before we went to the ad break, we had another question and or rather a comment from our listener, Carol. Hi there, really fascinating discussion. Kids under two shouldn't listen to loud music, especially at weddings, and the medicine is incredible. That's such an important point from Carol that I just wanted to touch on, Charlene, before we go sort of into infections and other causes of deafness. But what should parents be doing with young kids? You're going to a simcha, you're having all of these wonderful celebrations, and there's loud music, you know, at a wedding. Where should you be sitting? What should parents be doing to protect their younger kids' hearing?
That is such an important question. I don't know if they should be taking their children to simchas, but if everybody campaigns, perhaps the bands will come to understand that, that loud noise affects and damages hearing. I recently saw an incredible article by a rabbi supporting lowering the volume of music at weddings, and it's based on halakha. So if we can get this message across to the population, to the bands, to the audiences, to the kids, I know the kids are power junkies, they love the loud music, but we've got to, the same way as 20 years ago, many more people smoked, but with education, yeah. Very few people, I know very few people nowadays who smoke. Obviously, there are still people who smoke, but if we can get that education across how dangerous it is, but you can, if one has to take a baby to a simcha, you can get noise protection earphones for babies, but they have to be researched into how much noise they will damage. There's a noise chart as to how loud music is. And you can actually just thought of this, which I have used in the past. You can get an app on your phone called Decibel Level Sound Level Meter, and you can actually see how loud the average sound is. And if it's more than 80 decibels, you take your baby and yourself right out of there.
Right out of there. I think go ahead, sorry.
Exposure for from 85 decibels and upwards is limiting, and there's a guide as to how much noise one can be exposed to at 85, 95, etc. But even 1 hour of very loud music above 120 can cause permanent noise damage.
Yep. definitely something that we should be looking at. Perhaps, you know, bands could start to campaign as a way of marketing themselves, that the music levels are lower, they could bring headphones through. I could just think of the difficulty of a young family with a baby trying to keep headphones on a baby at a simcha where the kid's not interested. You know, that it can be a real big challenge. We have one more question from a listener, and then I want to go chat about infections and so on. But he says, hi, my name is Peter. Please, could you relate deafness when it comes to suffering from tinnitus? I suspect what he means is there a correlation from tinnitus causing deafness, or the development of hearing loss having tinnitus as a symptom?
Tinnitus, or tinnitus, we call it.
Tinnitus. That's my dyslexia there. Yep.
No, it's not. It's
both. I think we had the same discussion last time.
Okay. It's habitual for me to say tinnitus, but tinnitus is perfect.
Yeah.
Tinnitus is very often a complication of hearing loss, because when the nerve cells, the little hair cells, overfire. There's no real prevention and actual elimination of tinnitus other than the use of hearing aids. Very often putting hearing aids onto ears, which with damaged hearing, can cause the listener to dampen out the tinnitus and to be able to focus on speech. So that's a very conservative measure. Tinnitus is really a very difficult problem. There are certain audiologists who specialize in tinnitus management. It's a psychological cognitive processing that the patient will embark on with the appropriately trained tinnitus specialist.
Okay. Thank you. If we look at sort of infections or other causes of hearing loss, an inner ear infection, swimming in a pool, picking something up, swimming in the sea, how big a risk is that? And what should people be doing if they're feeling a little bit of earache or blocked ears and so on?
Well, you can prevent it by getting swim plugs if one is sensitive to getting those kind of infections. It's called swimmer's ear, and it's an external problem generally. Eardrops, antibiotic and steroid eardrops are good, pain control, and after swimming to keep the ear dry, to dry the ear. You can dry it with, you can use anything like a lappy, for better word, but lappy, a word that our South African audiences understand. Yes. A little cloth to dry the ears out.
But not sticking the cloth into the ear, is that just drying the outside of the ear, or what would you advise?
Yeah. You can dry the outside of the ear. You can, if you take your index finger and put it into the ear, the index finger is specially designed by God to with a point at the end, so you can put your you can put your ear in and remove the liquid like that. But you can get custom-made swim plugs. And that's a wonderful, wonderful idea. I have a client who gets enormous wax build up because of swimming, and these swim plugs, custom made to fit the person's ear canal exactly, work wonders.
Oh, phenomenal. So that, I think that's something, you know, given the state of a lot of our open bodies of water, that's maybe something that we should be looking at anyway, rather to protect our ears when we go and swim. Just before we start to wrap up, I'd like to touch on some of the myths and misconceptions about hearing loss. And Charlene, I'll ask you the question. You know, Nadine, if you would like to comment sort of from your experience as well, you know, what were some of the myths that you believed about hearing loss? So Charlene, let me start with you first. Myths and misconceptions about hearing loss.
Okay. One myth is that hearing loss only affects older people. That is incorrect. World Health Organization says that 1.1 billion teenagers are at risk for hearing loss due to unsafe audio devices. And hearing loss can affect any age group.
Okay. Gee, And other myths and misconceptions?
That hearing aids are like glasses. You just need glasses you put on and you see differently instantly. But hearing loss is not like that. If one wears hearing aids, the brain needs time to adjust, and it can take up to 2 months to see a real change, and 6 months will be the maximum improvement in one's hearing that one can experience. A myth is the family is telling everybody that the person's got hearing loss, and he says, I don't need hearing aids. I don't have hearing loss. It's everybody else that's mumbling around.
Right, yes. You all forgotten how to speak correctly.
Yeah.
It is. Right, we're going to go to an ad break, and then when we come back, Nadine, I'd like your thoughts on that. And then we'll wrap up the show, and I just love a message from each of you for our listeners, just some advice or some experience. Let's go to ads.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
Thank you for joining us on the show today. We've been chatting with speech therapist and audiologist Charlene Brett and one of Charlene's patients, Nadine Katz, who recently had an operation to correct her hearing. Just before we went to the break, we got Charlene's views and thoughts on some of the misconceptions and myths about hearing loss. For you, Nadine, has your experience sort of changed some of the things that you believed? Were there any myths that you believed about hearing and hearing loss?
Yes, I think definitely with age. I mean, I was very conscious to have a hearing aid because I didn't think I was old enough to have one. But fortunately, because I got long hair, it didn't affect me too much. But I would think if I had to redo my years again, I would have gone many years earlier to have my ears tested, and missed out plenty that I would have heard sooner.
Absolutely love that. It's such a wonderful, wonderful message. Anything that you would like to share just before we wrap up the show, Nadine?
No, just go and have your ears checked regularly, and never mind on your age or how young or how old. It's a normal thing. Like, you would go and test your eyes or check your teeth. Just go and do it and prevent not hearing for so many years that you could have heard.
Absolutely love that. We look after our eyes. We look after our teeth. Charlene said, this is not a stepchild. Look after your hearing. Charlene, from you as we wrap up today, your thoughts for our listener, any words of advice for our listeners?
I ditto what Nadine says, and I would like to mention a few warning signs of hearing loss, not to be ignored. So if you're in a noise and you have difficulty understanding speech, that's one of them. If everyone around you seems to be mumbling, if you need to increase the volume on the TV or radio, having difficulty on the phone, experience tinnitus, if you have difficulty hearing certain speech sounds, that's a sign of hearing loss. If you have balance or dizziness issues, if you feel that you are withdrawing from social situations because you feel embarrassed because you're not following the activity, if you have increased strain and fatigue, know that this is a really, really big warning sign for hearing loss, and it can impact on your brain function. So remember to take care, and with the ear pods, because that's how the whole conversation started, limit the volume, limit listening time, get noise cancelling earbuds, take breaks, 1 hour a day, if that is possible, have a good fit and a good quality hearing aid. And thank you for bringing this to our attention. You were a perfect candidate. You described the profile absolutely wonderfully of how important it is. Thank you. And thanks, Nadine. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Nadine. Thank you, Charlene. Absolutely wonderful having you on the show. And again, it's so important because it's preventative. You know, we have major diseases that, God forbid, can affect us and our members of our family, but where something is preventative and can have such an impact on our quality of life, it's something that we really should be taking seriously. So go and get your hearing checked, get it checked regularly and be responsible with the sound and the sound levels that you bring into your ears. Charlene Brett, speech therapist and audiologist, thank you for your time. Nadine Katz, so happy to hear about your recovery of your hearing. Thank you for what you've shared. Big thanks to Craig, our awesome producer, for keeping the show going and flowing, and our controller, and Sina Pabetsi, our producer, for the wonderful guests. Thank you for joining us today. I look forward to chatting with you next week. My name is Nicholas Ingle, and you've been listening to the Disco Medical Monday show here on 101.9 High FM.